Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Bears vs. Titans is featured in this week's free-to-play Super 6 contest. All you have to do is correctly predict the outcome of six NFL games. So get your picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to be a millionaire. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Colin, Bears Titans is one of the matchups this week. Give us your winner and final score.
Titans by a touchdown. I don't know what in God's name to do with Tennessee. I loved them for 8 straight games last year, this year.
Yeah.
They lose close to a good Pittsburgh team. And then, so they were the only pick I missed last week, Blazing 5. I take them, and they're terrible. They are terrible against Cincinnati. So what am I to make of them? Do I not like the Titans? Like, I almost feel like they played the Steelers and there was such an emotional letdown to get ready for a crappy team. So I think they're going to kind of reboot and go, okay, guys, let's not forget who we are. We're well-coached. We're physical. We run the ball. I think I like Tennessee. But when you watch that game last week, they didn't even – they stayed on the bus. They were terrible in that game. And I think it's you play the Steelers, and it's this big physical rivalry, and then you're flying to Cincinnati. You're like, let's get in, get out, and all of a sudden Cincinnati's one of the games of the year.
Yep.
So I think Tennessee's still good.
Yeah, I think they're still good too.
All right. So because the Steelers haven't had a stinker like that.
The problem for Tennessee is the Bears are not a bad team.
No, they're awful
to
watch.
They can make it very ugly, and
they're so Chicago.
Three L's in a row for the Titans.
Just defense and tough, and that's what a Chicago Bear football team should look like. No flash.
We'd love for Chicago to evolve a little bit, yeah. But yes, they can do that.
All right.
It's an interesting game.
I got to read this. Pure Talk USA. Get your phone. Dial #250 and say Colin Coward, $20 a month. Wireless, $20 a month. That's a good deal there. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Odell's time in Cleveland has not gone the way that the team would have hoped. Yeah. That has brought up a lot of questions about his future there. And GM Andrew Berry is sick of hearing those questions.
Second.
Yeah, I would say, to me, and respectfully, Nate, I feel like I've answered this, this question enough. Odell is one of the best receivers in the NFL. He played really good football for us before he was injured. Our focus with Odell is making sure that he recovers from the ACL tear. Like, we want him to be healthy and ready to go next year. But we're pleased with him.
Well, respectfully, that's what happens when you have a superstar in the building. People want to ask questions about it.
Yeah, that you have to consider that when you acquire a superstar.
Yes. Yeah.
If they get hurt, there's going to be that. That's always been one of the things in the building that, especially a receiver, and it's a perimeter player, and they're flashier. Like, when you bring in superstars, that's why you always want to under-promise, over-deliver. Like, when Baker comes in with all the commercials, we're probably way more critical on Baker because he's put himself out there.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of defenders of Darnold who's been humble and quiet. When Mark Sanchez, I remember, went to the Jets and he did a GQ thing. And I remember at the time I was at the other place and I was like, I don't love that. Like, dude, you got to win a game, get through camp before I see your abs. Like, under-promise, over-deliver, and superstars do bring a certain temperature into the building.
Well, for Baker or for Sanchez or Darnold or Burrow or any quarterback that's coming into the league. And that's a different position, obviously. So there's different expectations, different coverage, different, opportunities given to the face of the franchise. Well, yeah. Odell is an NBA player in the NFL.
He was the first, yeah.
So
shoe deal.
When he comes to your organization.
Ready for it.
Yes. And if he gets injured, there's going to be questions every day.
Yep.
What's the update on Odell? Every day. That's how it works. Like, and that's why I never thought this Odell thing in Cleveland was going to work.
Yeah.
Because Odell is there is only one Odell. whatever you think of what his career has been and his injuries and whatnot, we saw what Odell can be when Odell is healthy and he's with someone who can get him the ball and in a situation that works for him. We saw it in New York. That's why Odell is what Odell is. There's no manufacturing that. It's like you can have it with the biggest personality, you can make all the catches, you can have all the records. There is just something about stars. It's something about Cam Newton. Not quite sure what it is, but he's captivating. Yeah. Whether he's good, whether he's bad, whether he's playing, whether he's not playing. How much did we talk about Cam Newton this offseason when there was no sports going on?
Yeah.
Like almost every day.
Yeah.
And he hadn't played in how long? So yes, you're going to get asked questions about it, but this is all the more reason why I don't think Odell ever fit in Cleveland. I hope for Odell's sake and for Cleveland's sake, because it just doesn't work, that he's somewhere else next year where he's able to thrive. I still believe he has great football left in him. This was just never the situation for him. And obviously no one can plan for this kind of injury, but hopefully he recovers. And that injury at this point is, I mean, ACL is a standard injury at this point. It's not like it's an Achilles and you're not sure how he's going to come back. So the Bills started the season strong with four straight wins, another very confusing team.
Yeah.
They've not played at the same level since that winning streak ended. They host the Seahawks this weekend, and Josh Allen is prepared for a battle as they try to slow down Russell Wilson.
We understand how well the Seahawks are playing and how well, you know, the quarterback, Russell Wilson, is playing there. And, you know, we got no small task, you know, this coming week. They're, you know, top in a lot of statistical categories on the offensive side of the ball. And we got to make sure that we're doing our part and trying to keep them off the field as much as possible. But, you know, they got some very opportunistic guys on defense. And they're forcing a lot of turnovers. So it's going to be a four-quarter dogfight. We understand that.
You know, it's interesting. Seattle would really like the number one seed. I mean, everybody would. But Seattle's had running back injury issues now for a calendar year. Wouldn't it be great to have 14 days off? So this number one seed, this is a big game for Seattle. Seattle's a team that has a history. Pete's teams are aggressive. Last year, injuries derailed the season. This year, they can't keep running backs healthy. So, for Seattle, I can see where, because I think Jamal Adams is ready to play. And I've been told Peter Schrager told me this, that Pete Carroll basically said, dude, we want you 100% healthy. We're not going to risk it, because I honestly think Seattle has more ceiling than any good team in the NFL, even Kansas City.
Well, to your point, this is a really, really big game, not just for Seattle, but also for the Bills.
Yeah, because Miami is now looking like a playoff team.
Miami's right there. And while I agree with you, I'm leaning a little bit towards Arizona this weekend because I think they're going to let Tua play a little bit more and take a little bit more risk. They started the season, obviously, 4-0. Then they got thumped by the Titans. Then they lost to the Chiefs convincingly, barely beat the Jets, and obviously we know what happened last week with the Patriots.
No, I mean, the last 2 weeks I've watched the Buffalo Bills, the offense has been... Last week, Cam Newton doesn't fumble. They can't beat a New England team that appears to be just rebooting.
It's a very interesting game. Like, I don't know that it's going to necessarily be a fourth-quarter dogfight. Like, that's going to be more on the Bills. Seattle is a better team. It obviously, is on the road, but... Seattle's favored by 3, according to Fox Bet. So that's a big game this weekend. Lots of big games this weekend, actually. So the 49ers lost even more key players ahead of tonight's game with the Packers. Wide receiver Kendrick Bourne tested positive this week, and receiver Brandon Ayuk and left tackle Trent Williams were close contacts of his. So all three are on the COVID list and unavailable tonight. That leaves San Francisco without any of the 7 players who had an offensive touch when they faced Green Bay in the NFC Championship game last season. And here is a list of notable players out for the 49ers tonight. Sorry to our radio listeners, but I won't bore you.
It's a 15
very,
people.
Very long.
Seriously. All the good ones are out.
Literally insane. I don't know.
Position. Quarterback, tight end, running back, running back, running back, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, left tackle. It's probably going to struggle to score.
I know that it seems like it's hopeless tonight, but I still have a weird feeling about tonight's game. I mean, Green Bay is just... I just don't know. I'm very interested to see how it goes tonight.
What's the line on this? What's the line on this? I'm going to have some fun and bet this game tonight. What is it? Okay, I'm going to bet a fortune on Green Bay. It's 7.5 Fox bet. I'm going to take the Packers to win by 10. The only way to make this thing fun with all the injuries, I'm betting...
Can they stop the run?
Stop it enough. I like Green Bay to win by 10. Make the game fun. Go bet Fox bet. Make it fun. I bet the game. What else? You're not going to watch election coverage. We're all exhausted.
Not. We don't know. And you're not going to find out tonight anyway.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Brady Quinn's patiently been waiting. He is so good. Fox Sports, NFL and college analyst, is now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All right, let's start with Clemson Notre Dame. Great to see you again. What worries me, I've said this about college football. I love college football. But I do think something, Joel Klatt and I have talked about this. It worries me. It's becoming a three-horse race. It is Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, and maybe the second-best SEC team. Notre Dame, to me, is about the fifth or sixth best team in college football, and I feel like there's a gap between those teams. I think it's imperative that Notre Dame wins this weekend. I think it's good for the sport. I think Clemson's missing a defensive lineman. Can Notre Dame win this week? If they can't, it's discouraging to me because this game feels like Notre Dame's got a real shot. Can they compete?
Oh, they can compete, and they can win this game. I mean, look, not having Trevor Lawrence, who, if you go back to the last time these two teams played, the semifinal game, that was what really hurt them. But that game was a lot closer than the scoreboard actually indicated. If you go back and look at that game, with 5 minutes left in the second quarter, their All-American cornerback, Julian Love, went out. Clemson got two quick strikes, and it started to kind of snowball after that. But it really wasn't quite as uncompetitive as it looked, at least based on the scoreboard, and especially not as bad as it looked in the national championship game when Clemson beat Bama. This time around, they don't have that experience or the confidence with Trevor Lawrence, but they do have DJ Uiagalelei, who looked really good, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
For a freshman, his first start, he's got a big arm. He's athletic. The thing that stood out to me the most was his timing. I mean, for a guy who's a freshman, to throw three steps, plant, throw ball out before the receiver's out of his cut.
He's good.
It was impressive.
Yes.
I mean, it really was. But I don't know that they're going to hang their hat on him making a bunch of throws to the outside versus the Notre Dame secondary. It's going to be about whether or not Notre Dame's defense can stop Travis Etienne. If they can stop him, put this entire game on DJ's shoulders, and then control the game on offense with their rushing attack, their stable of running backs, but also Ian Book is a part of that. I don't think it's not being just competitive. I think there's no doubt they can win, and I think they need to win this matchup because most likely they're going to play Clemson again in the ACC championship game based on how the ACC is going to play it this year. So this has to be the right time. You've got them at home. You've got a backup quarterback playing who's inexperienced, his first road start. This has to be the time that you do it. And you mentioned Tyler Davis, their D-tackle, probably one of their better guys up front. He probably will be out. And then Skalski, we don't know if he'll play or not. Him next to Spector, those really two are the leaders of the linebacker position. If he's out too, that's another big loss. That's another opportunity, I think, for Notre Dame to dominate on the ground. And then keep in mind this. They don't have necessarily a ton of speed to beat Clemson on the outside. Michael Mayer, their freshman tight end, he is that next Rob Gronkowski type, big athletic guy. He started to emerge there, too, as that pass threat, I think, for Ian Book.
By the way, we're looking at Brian Kelly video right here. Brady Quinn is joining me. And I've said this. Tom Coughlin came into the NFL, and he went to New York. And he'd get all worked up, and his face would get all red, and he would yell and yell and yell. And then the owners of the Giants said, Tom, you got to take a deep breath here. You're wearing guys out. And Tom Coughlin did, to his credit. So Brian Kelly comes into college football, and Brian, you know, he's at these small colleges. We don't watch these games. And then he's at Notre Dame, and he's, you know, he's yelling and screaming. But I got to tell you something. I think he's Notre Dame's best coach since Lou Holtz. I'm a huge fan. I don't know how long he wants to be the Notre Dame coach because it's a lot of work. But as a Notre Damer, as a Domer, I think Notre Dame's got more talent now than they have had in 15 years. Now, I don't think they're Clemson. I don't think they're Ohio State. But also, I think academically, Notre Dame it's got a little Stanford feel. It's a harder place to recruit to. It's got, you know, for obvious reasons. But what do Domers think about Brian Kelly today?
No, I think they think he's a good football coach. He's got the resume with the exception of a national championship. I mean, if you look at his total wins, his win percentage, you factor into all those things. You mentioned the recruiting. I think one of the biggest things he's done is he's realized what the identity is at Notre Dame. You know, they can get any offensive lineman, any tight end they want in the country because that's what they are shipping off into the NFL. That's why you see so many guys now making bank, making big money. So they can recruit all those positions. And then the skill positions, as you mentioned, you know, that depends on, I think, the family. It depends on what that individual wants out of their education, if they care about their education. because the workload of Notre Dame is tough, yeah. but it will be rewarding later on in your life after football. And I think he's gotten some of those guys. Chris Tyree, for example, he's got a ton of speed. Their freshman running back, he's a guy they're going to rely on this week. And there's a number of guys you can kind of throw into that conversation. So he is recruited to their identity, and I think that's one of the more stronger suits he's had. And also, look at his staff. I mean, they moved on from Chip Long. They hire Tommy Reese, a former quarterback there, the former quarterback coach. He's done a tremendous job, I think, again, hanging their hat on what their identity is, putting in things to make their quarterback, Ian Book, comfortable. Clark Lee is one of the better defensive minds, too. The way he's gone about handling this staff, too, I think he should be. It should be noted, and he should be applauded for how he's managed that entire group, not just the players and the team.
So you know college football is different than the NFL. Justin Herbert wasn't a five-star recruit, and he looks unbelievable in the NFL. And then Tua's a five-star best ever, and I watched him last week, and he looks a little small. He doesn't have a lot of wiggle athletically. You tell me, what will be the first thing you look at Tua, Brady, the first time you look at him and you go, ooh, red flag. I'm worried about that. I'm worried because Justin Herbert, I can figure it out. That's going to work in the NFL. What will be something you see with Tua and you think that worries me?
Well, first off, let me just answer by saying this. As good as Herbert has looked, it's his first year. So even though he's got the athleticism, the size, the big arm, the football IQ, we've seen him how well he's been able to perform so far. It's his first year. We were saying this about Carson Wentz now. Remember, Wentzylvania, after his first three starts, they had the early bye. After the first three games, they started 3-0 his rookie year. We were all saying the same thing. So, well, let's not jump to too many conclusions here. But in regards to Tua, it's not his size because we knew he was small coming into it. He's got a lightning quick release, good touch and all that. I think my concern is if he's going to be able to adapt to the NFL game. And what I mean in saying that is one of the things that made Tua so special at Alabama was his ability to create, buy time, and then make some big throws down the field. You can't quite do it the same at the NFL level. And so we didn't have to see him do that last week versus the Rams because their defense played so darn well, and they had a return for a touchdown. So he wasn't really called to do a lot. This week versus Arizona, different situation. Doesn't have 2 weeks to prepare like he did versus the Rams. He's taken on an offense that I think is going to be a big-time challenge for the Dolphins defense, which – by the way, is the number one scoring defense right now in the NFL. I'm not sure anyone knew that. So, you know, even though that'll be a challenge for the Cardinals, they're going to put up some points. They're going to put pressure on Tua and that offense to put up some points. It won't be as easy as what it was versus the Rams last week. So how does he handle that situation? Does he press? Does he make bad decisions? And how's he going to handle a defense now that's at least got a game of watching him under their belt to see some of his tendencies? And Vance Joseph's done a tremendous job with this defense. Keep an eye on Buda Baker, the way they move him around, the way he will impact this game. It's going to be a big challenge. So I'm more curious to see how he handles himself. And if he tries to scramble around too much, ends up taking unnecessary hits and unnecessary losses, putting them behind the chains.
By the way, that freshman quarterback for Clemson, I'm so proud of you that you got his name because his name, it's not the easiest name.
When we Uyunglele.
That is amazing. So when we watch the video, I'm not an NFL scout. But when you were talking about that kid and we're showing those throws, I'm sorry, Brady. That is one of the most talented 18-year-old. I saw a game last year in Southern California. I saw his highlights. He was the number one high school player in the country. That kid, I mean, just as you watch it, just talk. Look at those skills. Look at some of these throws. He's incredible.
That's blitz zero, by the way. So that was an all-out blitz on that first touchdown pass to Travis Etienne, and he was able to recognize it, find Etienne, and ends up being a touchdown later on. But that's kind of the mental aspect of it that he brings to it. He actually made a throw in this, Colin, that you're not going to see in a highlight because it was an incompletion. They had a double moves on the outside. He looked left the whole time. He wanted it, didn't like it. He flipped his hips, turned right back around, fired it down the field on the right side. It was on a dime. Perfectly thrown football. They ended up getting a pass interference on the play, but the ball was incomplete. But I was more wowed by that than any other completion he had the entire game. God. He really does have the entire package. I think the only thing that you could be critical about is they're all fastballs, man. He's got to develop that second pick and learn to use a little bit of touch because that thing comes out of his hand hot. But he showed the ability to work through progressions, identify what the defense was trying to do, the athleticism, the timing. He's a special player. Dare I say, Clemson's going to be able to hang around for a while, even after Trevor Lawrence leaves.
Man, I just love watching him play. That kid is just special. Brady Quinn, good seeing you, Eddie.
Yeah, always fun being on. Thank you.
You bet. All sorts of good. He's just, Brady's terrific. All right. What's my game I'm playing next? It's called Tua Beats Hua. How do I think Tua does the rest of the year in his games? He beat the Rams. Tua beats Hua. Tua beats Hua.
Oh, Tua beats Hua. Okay.
A little corny today. It's okay. We all need to lighten up these days.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Rec-tech, more than a grill, it's a lifestyle. Can't go wrong. RECTEQ.com. All right, Joy. Tua made his debut last Sunday. Didn't have to do much, but he beat the Rams. He's 1-0. We're going to go through the rest of his games. It's called Hua. What's it called again? Hold on.
Tua beats Hua.
The staff came up with this. Are we ready? Do we have music with it? All right. Do you ask me the game?
No, I was not given a paper. Am I supposed to be doing that? I can just pull up the Dolphins schedule and ask
you. All right, Joe, do you want me to just go with it, John? Okay, week 9 at Arizona. Let's go with a loss. Cardinals coming off a bye. They have the number one total offense. He doesn't have as much time to prepare. Week 9, Cardinals loss. Week 10 at the Chargers. Tua wins. Chargers have to travel cross-country after a Week 9 home game against the Raiders. Chargers have not been a good road team and not a good team with a lead. I like Flores, the coach, out battling Anthony Lynn. Week 11, Denver. I'm going to give him a win. Broncos scoring offense is inept. Bronco quarterbacks' passer ratings this year have been 72.5. Only the Patriots are worse. So I'm going to go with what I think is the better coach in an ugly, ugly low-scoring game. Week 12, Jets. That's a win. Dolphins beat them 24-0 in Week 6. Jets have only scored over 20 points once this year. They've got nothing to play for. Could be tanking. That's a win. Week 13, Bengals. I'm going to go loss on this. Burrow's getting better protection every week. Joe Burrow has the most completions in the NFL of any quarterback. I'm not joking. They're getting better every week. I've given him a couple close wins. This is a close loss. And I think Joe Burrow gets better and kind of runs the day. Week 14, Kansas City. Loss. Chiefs are a great road team. By the way, the Chiefs' defense is the story here. Not just Mahomes. Their defense has held opponents to 20 or fewer points in 7 or 8 games this year. So that's Kansas City's the best team in football. You can argue Pittsburgh second, Tampa second, Seattle second. Kansas City's the best team in football. Week 15, Patriots. That's a win. It'll be the end of a 3-game road trip. Patriots will have gone to the Chargers. They've gone to the Rams. I'm going to take Tua winning that game. Week 16 at the Raiders. Loss. Raiders, 300-plus total yards in 12 straight games. I don't think Tua is ready to engineer that kind of offense with a bad offensive line. Week 17 at the Bills. Bills will be in a fight for the playoff division title. I'll take the Bills. By the way, the Bills have won each of the last 4 games. They match up with them pretty well. Gave Miami one of their ugly losses this year. So let's count it. So that would be a win against the Rams, loss Cardinals, win, 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 loss, loss, win, loss, loss. That would be 5-5. Tua would be 5-5 at the end of the season. And what would you do with him?
Well, I think what he looks like in that 5-5 is what matters.
Because we thought they'd be 5-5 with Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Or, I mean, 8-8 with Fitzpatrick.
And, I mean, while it would be nice to make the playoffs with Tua,
let's not be crazy.
Progression is the goal, yes. I think it depends on how he looks.
I want you guys to keep that. Gulag, archive that. I want to be
recorded.
I want to be held accountable on that prediction.
Okay.
Tua is 5-5. The Dolphins go 8-8, which is for the record, about what I think they'd do with Fitzpatrick. Maybe a game better. I don't think he can win shootouts against Cincinnati or the Raiders at this point. I don't see that happening. Upgrade Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades. Walmart, only place that has them. 2 times longer, they'll last than other blades. We'll see you tomorrow. The Herd.